In my experience in serving churches, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of different youth ministries and youth programs. And each of them has their own certain personality of the way the kids react and respond. But one thing happens with every group is they always have one or two games that are their favorite. Every church has one. When I offer, what game do you want to play? There's always that one that is just a favorite for everyone, a part of that youth group. When I was serving a church in Tyler, Texas, their favorite game was a game called Murder in the Dark. It's not a murder scene, but what happens with it is you turn off all the lights. Before you turn off the lights, you select the killer, the person who's it. You turn off the lights, and everyone mingles around, and the killer very secretly pinches one person, their victim, and then that person falls dead. You turn on the lights, and you try to guess who is the crafty killer who has gotten that person. And the craftier the kids, the more rounds of killing go on and on. But the important part of the game, Murder in the Dark, is darkness. We had a wonderful youth room at that church where there were no windows. The windows that were in the room were two small ones on the doors. And usually we would turn off the lights and it'd take a minute for your eyes to adjust so you could see a little bit in front of you. But the kids, that wasn't enough. They wanted to put foil on the doors and the windows so that it was truly pitch black. And then sometimes you couldn't hardly even see your hand in front of you. Have you ever been in that kind of darkness where you can't see in front of you? At night, usually when we turn off the light to go to bed, we have the light of the alarm clock or some light from the outside window or maybe a night light. But true darkness, we don't always see. I was in Barbados on my honeymoon, which I've got to mention, I wasn't planning on this, but 12 years ago was the day I got married, so that's a good day to preach on your wedding anniversary. We have plans for this evening, but we were in Barbados as part of our honeymoon, and we went into a cave, and when we went into the cave, they turned off the lights, and truly, that is probably the darkest place I've ever been. You couldn't even see your hand in front of you. It's hard to think of darkness when we're on such a bright morning with the sun shining down. But throughout Scripture, Jesus and other teachers use light, recognizing that as good, and darkness represented evil. We see that in movies and TV and cartoons where the good guys always wear white and the black guys always wear black. You don't even have to identify them through their actions, just by the clothes that they wear. In our Scripture verse this morning, directs us that way also of darkness and light. Pray with me, please, as we open up God's Word to seek His understanding. Pray with me, please. Dear God, we thank You for Your Word, the Word of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that reflects to us how that we are to live, reflects to us the love of Your Son, Jesus. As we open that Word this morning, help the words to be true. The words that I speak, may they be Your truth and not something that will deceive. And may those words be etched on our hearts forever, those words of truth. We ask this in Your Son's name. Amen. Scripture verse this morning comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. And follow along, you can find it in your bulletin. It says, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a clay pot. A lamp is put on a stand so that everyone who comes in the house can see the light. Your eyes are the lamp for your body. When your eyes are good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. So be sure that your light isn't darkness. If you have light and nothing is dark, then light will be everywhere, as when a lamp shines brightly on you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this small verses here, there are two parables and then a summary that come together in a very nice way, all relating to the light of Jesus Christ. The first part of the parable is in verse 33 that says, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a clay pot. A lamp is put on a stand so that everyone who comes in the house can see the light." When we think of a lamp, we oftentimes think of something that's plugged in, or electric lamp that's on a table in our house, or maybe the ceiling fixture that provides the light to our room. In Jesus' day, they didn't have electricity, and so what they would have would be a small oil-burning lamp that they would light with a wick in it. And they wouldn't just set it on the table because there'd be the likelihood of knocking it over and oil and everything causing a fire and damage, but they would have in the wall usually a place that was cut out to place this lamp so that it would be able to shine the light throughout the household. A lot of us have been camping, and those of you who've been paying attention noticed something different this morning, a lantern. And a lantern, I think, is one of our better modern-day understandings of the light that they had, because there's no outside source to this light. There's no electricity plugged into it. And if you've ever been camping, you know that when you have a lantern like this, you don't want to put it on the ground because it only lights your feet. You want to find a stand or a tree to hang that lantern from so it's able to light the whole area. The same was true in Jesus' time, where they would find that place in the wall where that light was designed to shine and light up the whole house. But obviously, this isn't just talking about lighting a lamp that we stick in our house or that we stick to shine around. It's our lives. Our lives that we are not to be concealed, hidden, and put away in a dark place, but to shine the light of Christ wherever we go. God intends for us to reveal Jesus' promise, His promise of His love, His never-ending love for us. Now, a lot of times we read this verse and we see where it says, don't put on a clay pot. And yes, this is fake clay, but we know that if we were to put the clay pot on there, it would not radiate as well as it obviously does when we take off the light, take off the cover, and allow that light to shine. In the same way, we are there to shine, but I think sometimes we don't go far enough. We think that we're there in the world shining and radiating the love of Christ everywhere we go, and people are going to notice us. People are going to notice that we shine the light of Christ when we're at work, when we're at in our neighborhood, when we're driving carpool, whatever it is that we do on a daily light, that we have this light that's shining, that people are going to recognize and want to know who Jesus is. That does happen. That does happen where people recognize and know that. But more than that, they want to see and know that the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ makes a difference in our lives every day. There's two folds, I think, to being that light that we miss out on sometimes that God has called us to be. The first part of that fold is to take a quote from St. Francis of Assisi that I know has been quoted from the pulpit at Norton many times, and that is, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. We might have a shorter final hymn now after that gust of wind. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Those are such wonderful words. That our lifestyle, the way that we live our life from day to day, should radiate the love of Christ, that other people would come to know Jesus Christ. It's fantastic. But I don't think that goes far enough sometimes, because I think that we oftentimes put in our mind that people are going to see the way I live my life, and that's going to be enough. But what happens if one day you're sitting on the train riding into the city, or you're at the deli and your son or daughter has on a VBS t-shirt, and someone says to you, you're a Christian, right? I see the VBS t-shirt. I see the Bible study that you're reading on the train. And you say, yes, I'm a Christian. And they say to you, why? What would you say? What would you say if someone were to ask you, why are you a Christian? Maybe you'd tell them a little bit about the church, and they'd say, yes, I understand why you go to church. It's a beautiful place, beautiful worship, beautiful music, but why do you believe in Jesus Christ? What would be your answer? I think for a lot of us, we would say, Jesus loves me. I'm a sinner. I need salvation, and Jesus Christ saved my life. He saved me from the sin that entangled my life, the struggles that I've had, and He has set me free through His Son, Jesus Christ. And amen, that's the truth. And I think a lot of people know that. But what they want to know is, what has Jesus Christ done in your life? What is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? What difference has that made in your life? I saw the power of a 2 to 5 minute testimony on a mission trip that I went to in Mexico a couple years ago. I went with a group of high school students, and we did door-to-door evangelism, oftentimes encountering people who were Catholic, who knew and understood the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. But so many of them were missing out on understanding the relationship of Jesus Christ, a Lord and Savior who is there with them daily in their trials and their struggles. And it was absolutely amazing to hear the way that people's hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, responded when students talked about difficult times that they had gone through and the way that their relationship with Jesus Christ had sustained them. So you're sitting on that train. You have 3-5 minutes to share with that person why Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and what a difference it's made in your life. I encourage you, with whoever you're here worshiping with this morning, maybe on the way home or during lunch or brunch, wherever you're together, to ask each other, why are you a Christian? What is that time, that encounter that you've had with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that's made a significant difference, that someone who you would encounter, you could share in 3 to 5 minutes? For me, it's a story of when I was in seventh grade, one of them. Seventh grade, a time in my life where, for all of us in seventh grade, going through difficulty of puberty, where do you fit in, acne, other problems that are so important that we realize. And also, I think, a time in our lives where that we're going from the stories that we've learned as Christian children being raised in the church of, do those stories matter? Do they really answer the difficulties that I'm starting to face? And as I was going through those difficult times of early adolescence, I had two significant events happen. One of my good friends from church named Jeff was a kid with Down syndrome, mild Down syndrome, but a great kid, a lot of fun. And I got the call one day that Jeff was at his school playing on the playground and fell off the monkey bars and broke his neck. And he was paralyzed, with only able to use one of his arms and not very well. Wasn't sure early on if he was ever going to be able to use any of his arms. He's still in a wheelchair today. And also at the same time, my middle sister, I have three older sisters, my middle sister had been dating a man for a year or so, and there was conflict with my parents in that relationship, and my sister and her boyfriend eloped and got married, and I went for almost 3 years without seeing or talking to my sister, my whole family, where we didn't see or talk to her for 3 years. It was a difficult time in my life, a time that I, all these things that I'd heard about, that God had loved me, that God cared for me, I thought, why? You let a kid who's already handicapped with Down syndrome be in a wheelchair. You take away my sister for a long period of time in my life. But I look back on that time and see where my prayer life had never been more strong. I still have that prayer journal that has daily prayers of for my sister and for Jeff. And for seeing the way that now years later I understand and hear the testimony of Jeff and the way that he was supposed to be paralyzed from the neck down, the movement that he has, and how he's able to share with other handicapped kids the testimony of his life and the way that God healed him and worked. My sister that I reconciled, we were able to reconcile, is married to another man, has two wonderful children, and actually works at a Presbyterian church as a receptionist. But through those difficult times, the way that Jesus Christ sustained my life, carried me through in a difficult time. My parents were going through difficulties of their daughter being away, that they weren't able to minister to me like they probably should have. But Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, was able to do that. Nothing amazing. I didn't suddenly get healed of leprosy or anything like that. But a short story of an encounter that I had with Jesus Christ. Each one of you have them. Each one of you have them. And if you can think in your mind, prepare to practice how you can share that with someone that you might encounter, and pray for that opportunity, the Holy Spirit will give it to you. As we move on in our scripture to the second parable in verses 34 and 35, it says, "Your eyes are the lamp for your body. When your eyes are good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. So be sure that your light isn't darkness." It says the eye is the lamp for the body. That is, it lets the light in so that everyone can see. We know this from the idea that I talked about of having a dark room and not being able to see anything because of the darkness, and our eyes are what brings in that light. One of my favorite television shows is Mythbusters. Do we have any other Mythbuster fans out there? Good, I'm not alone. There's a few other people. If for those of you that don't know this TV show, it comes on the Discovery Channel, and there's a crew of people that have worked in the movie industry, and what they do is they take common myths that maybe you think are true, and they test them scientifically. It's a very entertaining of how they go about trying to bust these myths or how to prove them to be correct. Some of them that they've done are, is it possible through hypnosis to remember something that happened, details that not under hypnosis that you can understand? Or we've seen in movies where people are running from being shot, and they jump in the water, and they're not shot. And it's true. Within about 6 inches of water, bullets stop traveling. I don't know if that's really handy information, but I know you'd miss my point of the sermon because you'd be thinking, is water bulletproof? And yes, it is. And my favorite episode that I saw not too long ago, and I have to have a brief costume change, was the pirate episode. Now, many of us think that pirates, the reason why they wear an eye patch is because obviously they were out sailing the seven seas one day, got into a bloody sword fight, and took a sword into the eye. And this patch is there to cover up some deformity, some problem that they have with their eye. Well, that's what I thought. But the myth was that the reason why pirates wear an eye patch is basically they have their light eye and their dark eye. And the idea was that as they were out sailing around, finding a Mergo and Raid, the sun was beaming down and their pupils were getting very small for the sunlight. And then as they would go and take over that ship and go under deck, it would be dark. And because it was so light outside, they would go into the darkness and they couldn't see anything. But because of their eye patch, they would take their eye patch and move it to the other eye, and suddenly they'd have their dark eye that they were able to see underneath. I knew I wouldn't be able to do this without laughing. So join with me in the laughter. So it sounds pretty ridiculous, doesn't it? You know, you're shaking your head, there's no way. Well, on Mythbusters, they proved that this is true. They took a maze, and they had people go through the maze after going into complete light, into the darkness, and they failed miserably. But then they went in with an eye patch being outside, switching over to the dark eye, and they mastered the maze. I don't know if there's ever been a Mythbusters episode that has pertained to Scripture as accurately as the eye patch idea of the pirates. Because it's the idea that when we are in darkness, we can see better in the darkness, or we're filled with darkness. And we're in the light, when we're in those good things, the brightness of Jesus Christ, we are filled with light and able to see light. In 34, the idea comes out oftentimes in verse 34 that we've heard, you are what you eat. How many of us have heard that? Yeah. But the reality is, more true is that you are what you see. King David saw this. In Psalm 101:3, he says, I will see nothing wicked before my eyes. He's a testimony of this. Had he not been looking over to see bathing Bathsheba, things might have turned out a little bit different in his life. We have the good light versus the darkness. What good light are we allowing to come in and to fill our hearts, that window that brings light into our lives? Or are we looking and taking in the dark things that corrupt and pollute our heart? Or are the things that we're watching on television, on the movies that we see, or the internet sites that we visit? Are we filling our eyes, are we filling our heart and our lives with light or darkness? What the eye lets into the mind makes up the person of who we are. And it says that light is the fundamental image, indicates that without God's presence, only darkness presides. There's no automatic inner light as far as Jesus is concerned. So we must be careful what goes into our soul through the door or our eyes. The great physician recommends that the intake be filled with light. Now, the source of light that we oftentimes think of with a lamp, or that as we shine the light of Christ, we oftentimes think of a light or a lantern. But I think sometimes this image is a little bit incomplete, because if we let this lantern sit here for 8 or 10 hours, eventually it'll go out of fuel and it'll go away. And to get this thing going, it required some action of pumping the lantern, giving it pressure, lighting it with a spark before it would go. So it's not always complete. But I think a better understanding of shining the light of Christ is that we reflect the light of our Son, Jesus Christ. The Soviets were able to do this. Not from a spiritual standpoint, but from a scientific space standpoint. In 1993, on their space station Mir, they had a 25-foot aluminum disc that they were able to aim the light of the sun and light up an area of Earth during the time of darkness over 2 miles. Simply not by creating a new source of light, but by reflecting the sun in a different way. That's what we're called to do, to take the light of our Son, Jesus Christ, and to reflect it to the world that we come to. To reflect the love of Christ to those that we encounter. The final verse that wraps these two verses up is, if you have light and nothing is dark, then light will be everywhere, as when a lamp shines brightly on you, or as when you reflect. Now you might be saying to yourself, or you're wanting to say to me, I don't like what you're saying, because as I try to reflect the light of Christ, I don't have a very good mirror. I don't have a very good reflection. You don't understand, there's lying in my life, there's cheating, there's things that people don't want to know about me. That's me too. There are things that each of us, we don't want others to know about us. But the good news is our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, knows all of those deep areas, all of those dark areas that we want to hide from others and we think prevent Him from reflecting His Son through us. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's able to heal those things. A person can become like light, a living picture of what God's words teaches, by concentrating on the light of truth. If we focus on those darkest areas, we're going to shine darkness. But when we focus on the Son of Jesus Christ, we're going to radiate light to all those around us. In just a few minutes, we're going to be taking communion. great time to come into to take the bread, the wine, the sign and the seal of God's love for each and every one of us. And I pray as you come forward to take the communion, as you prepare your hearts, that you would give to him those areas, those hurts, those pains that maybe you realize don't reflect him in the way that you know that you need to. Those areas where you're allowing darkness to come into your life. Those areas where that you're just being corrupted. We all have them. And we need to hand them over to Jesus Christ, knowing that he will heal those in a mighty way. Also pray that he will equip you for serving. It's one thing to know that you're a Christian and to be ready to share, but to pray for those opportunities. Pray for those people around you that you might be able to share with them your story, the way that Jesus Christ has healed you, the way that Jesus Christ has transformed your life in an amazing way. Because I promise you, and the Word promises, that when we seek him, he will reflect him through us. When we seek him, we will find him. That we will reflect our heavenly Son, the heavenly Son of Jesus Christ, that we'll reflect him with very well-lit eyes. Pray with me, please. Dear God, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the healing power that we find in your Son, those areas that we struggle, those areas where we have sin, where we have darkness, things that we're not proud of. We give them over to you. May your anointing balm be upon us, that we would truly reflect your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us as we reflect to not do it in a way to say that we are perfect, because we know we're not. We're only perfect because of your Son, Jesus Christ, through your eyes, through your reflection. Help us in humility to be able to share with others the love of Christ, that they would come to know you, and that you would strengthen us as we focus our eyes on those things that light us well and away from those things that are dark. Come into this place. Come into our presence as we partake of the communion. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.